Well, good morning. Glad you guys are here. My name's Clay. If we've not met, I'm one of the pastors here. Would love to meet you sometime. And was out last week. It's good to be back. I hate that I missed. I was not here on the weekend that my Atlanta Falcons played the Carolina Panthers, but I'm here for all your razzing and harassment. All well and good. There's still another game left in the season. That's all we got to say about that. Thrilled that you are here. Before we jump into what we're going to talk about today as we get into part four of our series on relationships, in 2 weeks, so we got one more week left in Sabotage. We're going to talk about a really, probably one of the more important topics in the series next week. And then it's Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving comes after that. And then the Sunday after Thanksgiving, we're going to do something we haven't done here before. We just want to answer your questions. So we're going to bring a panel of people across the stage here, our pastors and teachers, and just kind of rapid fire best we can through some of your questions. The way that you're going to get your questions to us is simply this. If you'll go to our website here at nextlevelchurch.org/God-questions, that's also in the program that you have in front of you. If you'll go there, there's a form you can fill out. You don't have to give your name because you may not want your name attached to your question, but I've always wondered about this. You can fill all that in there, and then we're going to take all those questions, and then our panel is going to sit down, and we're just going to spend that Sunday. We're just going to go through your questions just one after another after another. So if you've ever had anything that you've been curious about, like, hey, how did the Bible come to be? You know, what is the New Testament? How did they figure out how the New Testament come together? Or, you know, I don't understand this Trinity thing, or, you know, why is there pain and suffering in the world? Whatever it is that you have a question of, want to ask. And it doesn't really matter what your question is. We'll try to answer it. Even if it has really, really bothered you and you really need to know, did Adam and Eve have a belly button? We'll do our best to try to answer that question, you know, for you. There's no stupid questions. There's no silly questions. So whatever you have, you know, just ask those. You can go to the website. You can fill that out. And we're going to start compiling all of those questions now. We'll put that out on our social media channels as well and do our best to answer those questions. Well, today, though, we are in part four of a message series that we've been doing called Sabotage, where we've been looking at the behaviors that we have where we sabotage our relationships. What are the things that we do that just cause our relationships to fall apart? And what we've said from the very beginning is many times we're just not aware that we have these behaviors. Because most people, if you're aware that you've got something going on, you want to do some things to change it. And so there are some things that we just can't see. The first thing that we talked about, and I spent 2 weeks talking about it, is so hard to see in the mirror, but it is one of the biggest relationship killers, is this issue of pride. And that this whole me first attitude, and it's all about me and me first and me, that is devastating. That you have to get out. And we said the Bible's way of looking at relationships and really just all of life is never that you just have to go find the right person. You know, a lot of people think, well, the reason my relationships are bad and it didn't work out and my marriage didn't work is I didn't find the right person. If I just find the right person, it'll work out. But the Bible, what it clearly has to say is it's not about finding the right person. It's about being the right person. That if you just be the right person, you can fix a lot of your relationship problems. So we talked about that for 2 weeks, and then Pastor Joseph came up and he talked last week, did a fantastic job of talking about this fear of rejection, this whole people-pleasing thing, and I'm just going to do this so that I can please people. And he talked about how that's just a trap, and it's waiting to snap on you. And that if you spend your life just pleasing relationships, really what you're doing is not about loving people. It's all about trying to get people to love me. Just love me, love me, love me, love me. And just a great message. You can catch up on all of those online. But today, I want to talk again about another relationship killer. And it's our words. More specifically, the sabotaging behavior we're going to look at today is the wrong or hateful or harmful use of words. That how we use our words, especially when we use them in a hateful, harmful kind of way, it really can undermine, it really can sabotage the relationships that we have. So we're going to talk about the power of words. And when it comes to using words, there's three things that I know about you. And we're going to start off with the three things that I know. And the first one is really, really obvious. One, you use words. Yep, I went to college. You use words. Some of you use a lot of words. Some of you use very little words. And so I kind of went to make sure that my statistics were correct. I've looked at this many, many times. And I'm just going to report to you kind of what research says. Don't take offense to this. But in general, if you're a guy, if you're of the male species here, in any given day, what they tell us is at the average man uses about 7,000 words during his day, right? So in all the speaking and all of what he's got to do at work, he uses about 7,000 words. Now, I know there are guys that use a lot more words than that. And there are guys that speak a lot fewer than that. But on average, you know, about 7,000 words. If you are a female and you are here, what research says, and again, this is just research telling me what it is. I speak no lies here. Women use about 20,000 words a day. This is what they tell us, right? It's about 20, and again, I get it. Some of you ladies, you don't use quite that many. You're very soft-spoken, but when you speak, you know, it's very powerful. Some of you ladies, you've done that by breakfast. You know, that's just the way it is. And so what happens in relationships, is, as you can imagine, let's say you're a guy and you come home and you have used 6,950 words already at work, right? You've got 50 words left, okay? Your wife comes home, she might have 13,000 words left, right? And she wants to hear about your day and tell me how it went. And oh, you had that important meeting, what came out of that meeting, you know, and all that we can muster up is stuff. Like what happened in the meeting? Stuff. Like what? Like the last time. That's all you got? Yeah. And so they got many, many words, and so there's blah, 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 you know, they got words. And my wife and I, you know, we've taught this out, and she's been very kind, and she'll recognize, and she'll say something to me, she'll get into something, she'll stop, and she'll say, "You've used up all your words today, haven't you?" I was like, "Yes. Yes, I have." And she's like, "Okay, that's good. You can just sit and listen." And they're, right? But we use words, right? And again, some of us use a lot more than that. Some of us use fewer than that. But words, everything that we do in life, it's not just spoken words. There's written words. We are just covered and colored by words. Every moment is infected by words. Every relationship is dyed by words. Every circumstance is stuffed with words. We are wordish people. We just have a lot to say about words. In Proverbs, where we've been kind of using it as a jumping off point for this whole message series, Proverbs has a lot to say about words and how we speak and what we do. I could put dozens and dozens and dozens of verses on the screen and in your program for you to go over with words, but let me just give you one verse here that we will look at. And it's Proverbs 18:21, and it says this: "The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap consequences." Now, we could spend some time on the latter half of that for those of you that love to talk, but I really want to look at the first part of that verse. That the tongue, your words, have the power of life and death. That how you use your words and how you speak can bring your relationships to life, or it can bring them to death. And we kind of all know this. We've all experienced it. We've gone through it. And either you're breathing life into a relationship with your words, or you're breathing death into your relationship with your words. And the way that I put it on your outline is this, a kind of a summary of this verse. Words bring life. Words bring death. You choose. And this is what God says to you. That your words can bring life, and your words can bring death. But you know what? I'm going to allow you to choose. You get to choose which path you want to go down. And what this means when you play all of this out is that you and I, we have never spoken a neutral word ever. That all of our words, they are going in a direction. They are headed in a direction. And that direction could be to bring life. And it could be to bring encouragement and all things that are good. Or it could be moving in a direction of death and destruction. If you're speaking words of life in your relationship, you're speaking words of encouragement and hope and love and joy and peace, instruction and wisdom and correction. You're speaking these words of life. On the other hand, if you're speaking words of death into a relationship, you're bringing anger and malice, slander, jealousy, gossip, division, racism, violence, judgment, condemnation. You see, all of these words, they have consequences. And they either bring life or death. They can damage or they can heal. On your outline, as you came in, there's a little survey for you to take of yourself. On one side it says damage, and on one side it says heal. And I want us to kind of see where we're at in that. And the reason that I want us to do that is not because I want you to get a reflection. As we get into this message, Generally, when you start talking about words and or messages in general, you always start thinking, man, I wish Sally was here to hear that message. I wish Steve could have heard that message. You know, I can't wait till that comes out on a podcast. I'm going to send that out to them and make sure, you know. And we have a tendency to read the Bible that way. So we'll be reading the Bible and we'll come across a verse and you're like, man, I wish my wife, man, I need to take this over to my wife. She needs to read this verse, right? Or my husband, well, he needs to see this. And we think that this just, it goes in this direction. Like, you should get this, you should get this, you should. And our temptation when we listen to messages and read the Bible is to think that it's all about other people. But in reality, God is far more concerned that when you read this text and when you listen to a message, it goes this way. That, oh, it's about me. Oh, I need to change. Oh, I need to do something different. Oh, I've got conviction. And so when I put the survey on your outline, I want you to think, no, it's not about someone else. Where are my words in this? Do my words tend to heal, or do my words tend to damage? You know, when I begin to speak, and maybe think about a very specific relationship, when I begin to speak words into that relationship, are my words generally just throwing more fire on top of the fire that's already there? Are they causing more pain? Or are they bringing healing? Am I helping to bring things down? I know that the tone in our country right now is, you know, when people say mean, hurtful things, then what we do is we kind of share it and say mean, hurtful things back. And it's like trying to put a fire out with a fire. It makes no sense, right? Like, you never go to the fire department here and say, yeah, I'm sorry, Captain, man. I know the house is burning down. We keep throwing fire at it, but the fire won't go out. You're like, well, that's ludicrous. Throw some water on it. Your words, are you just throwing fire on fire? Or are you actually bringing healing? You, not the people around you, not the people that have hurt you. How are you doing in that? So, I know that you use a lot of words, and your words matter. They can bring life. They can bring death. The second thing that I know about you is that your deepest pain and your greatest joy have been accompanied by words. The things that have hurt you the most, the things that have brought the most joy in your life, have been accompanied by words. I mean, that's how it's been in my life as well. You remember the phrase when we were kids in grade school? And they would say this thing. They would say, sticks and stones will break my bones, but what would, finish it for me, but lying. I mean, why would you speak lies? Your words will never hurt me. Yeah, they will. It will hurt me deeply. We lie all the time about our words. We'll also say, you know, talk is cheap, right? We say talk is cheap. No, it's not. Words are very costly. You know, words are quite expensive. Words cost something. Every word you use has a price tag. You see, when we speak words, things happen. We have gone to war over words. Marriages end over words. People's self-confidence is shattered for the rest of their life over words. People are murdered over words. Words can end friendships. Words can splinter families. Words can shatter reputations. Words can split churches. Words are powerful. And I'm telling you, they can either be some of the most celebratory things that you will ever experience in your life, or they will be some of the most hurtful, devastating things that you will experience in your life. When I was thinking about this in this message, every weekend when I get up to write, and I write a message or I write blogs, I just like to write. When I write and I share from life experiences, there is an army, a whole chorus of people that are standing behind me that have spoke words into my life that make that possible. They've spoken encouraging things to me. They have spoke wisdom into me. They have spoke insight into me. And tomorrow is my 48th birthday, and I think in all those years, I would not be where I'm at had I not have had decades of people speaking life, speaking encouragement. Because there's been plenty of the other as well, right? And I think, you know, every time that I get up, every time I'm able to say something to you that has any insight, it's not me. There's a whole army of people that are behind me that have poured into me, and you're the exact same way. That words You know, your greatest joys have been accompanied by things, and your deepest pain has been accompanying. I encounter people, too, that, yeah, we can talk about all the celebratory things, but I see people 35, 45, 55, 65 years old, and they can take me back to moments about words. They can go back to the moment that some of the most painful things in their life were ever said, and they can begin to recall the details of that to me like it was yesterday. And it could have been 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and they remember it like it was yesterday. Some of you remember the day when you were at school and that group of kids got around you and they began to harass you and they called you fat. You can remember it like it was yesterday. Some of you remember the day your dad called you stupid and worthless, and I wish I never had you. Some of you remember that moment when your ex looked at you and said the words, "I don't love you anymore." Some of you remember that day that teacher or that coach that got you together and they said, "You know what? You will never amount to anything." You see, those painful words can last a lifetime because I put it in your notes this way. There is a scary, painful, long-term shelf life to ugly, hateful, abusive talk. Some of you know this well. Someone has said something to you and that has been on the shelf of your life for a long time. And it hasn't, the effect of it hasn't minimized over time much at all. If anything, maybe it's increased. There is a long-term shelf life to ugly, hateful, abusive talk. And some of the most painful moments in our history, some of the things that we wish we could go back and redo, were accompanied by words. They were brought along by words. So you use a lot of words. Some of your greatest joy, some of your deepest pain have been caused by words. And the third thing that I know about you, your world of words is a world of trouble. Your world of words is a world of trouble. And what I mean by that is that there are things that you have said that has created a lot of trouble in your life. And the reason I know that about you is because I know it about me. There's a lot of things in my life that I have said that I wish I could have back. And nobody in this room would like for us to recall all of your words. I don't think we could say anybody here would volunteer if I said, "Hey, anybody want to volunteer? What we're going to do is we're going to replay every single word that you spoke this last week. Every word to everybody. We're going to play them out here for everybody." No one here would volunteer for that. Because, I don't know, I said that and I wasn't too happy about that. We have all said some words that we wish we could get back. We've all had conversations that we wish we could just go back and we could snatch it back out of history. That we could just get it back. I mean, how many of us here have ever said something and said, "Man, I wish I would have never said that"? We've all been there. I've said things to my wife that I'm embarrassed that I've said. I've said things to my kids that I would be embarrassed to say or to hear, let you hear that I've said. I've said things to my wife and my kids that have hurt them, I'm sure. We've all had these moments. And our world of words, man, it can just be a world of trouble. And on a side note, I just want to point something out around this. Because we are living in a generation right now in dealing with some things that previous generations have never had to deal with when it comes to words. People will say things from behind a computer screen that they would never say to you to your face. And we live in a world now some very angry, hate-filled, ugly things are said because it's the safety of sitting behind a computer screen. See, 30 years ago, you couldn't have emailed that person that ticked you off. You'd have to go talk to them about it or just let it go. 20, 25 years ago, you couldn't have sent out a text message. 15 years ago, you couldn't have vent book it. All right, you couldn't have got all over Facebook and rallied all your troops together. But now we can. And people will say things that are far more hurtful, that are far more damaging from behind a computer screen than they would ever say face to face. We need to think this through. You know, I've been there too. How many of you, just confession time, have ever sent an email in like 3 seconds after you sent it, up to, you know, whatever time after you sent it, you went, oh crap, I wish I could get it back. How many of you are with me on that one? We've all done it, right? I have a millionaire tool idea that all my email would go into email purgatory for 30 minutes. Like when I hit send, and then before it would come back, it would have to come back to me, and it would have to read me my email in the tone that the person is going to receive it in and read it back to me, and then ask me, are you sure you want to send? Like, I would love that tool. I would pay a lot of money for that tool, right? We have all sent things that we wish we could get back. We have to be very, very, very careful of how we say our words from behind a computer screen. We're in a generation that's just throwing fire on fire on top of fire. I don't know that our society survives it, guys. We've got to be a different people. We have got to change. So, you use words. Your greatest joys, your greatest hurts have come from words, and your world of words is a world of hurt. I know all this about you. What does Jesus have to say about this? Let's dive into this real quick. So Jesus gives us some insight, pretty powerful. In Matthew chapter 12, I'm going to read to you from a translation called The Voice. This is Jesus talking. He says this, Matthew 12, verse 33, good trees produce good fruits, bad trees produce bad fruits. You can always tell a tree by its fruits. You children of snakes, you who are evil, how could you possibly say anything good? For the mouth simply shapes the heart's impulses into words. And so the good man who's filled with goodness speaks good words, while the evil man who is filled with evil speaks evil words. You see what Jesus is saying here? What Jesus is saying here is like, hey, some of you think you have a mouth problem. Some of you think you have a word problem. I'm here to tell you, you don't got a mouth problem at all. It's worse. You have a heart problem. There is something wrong at the root level with you. That's what he's saying. Like, you could come out of here and think, well, I'm just going to say better words, and I'm just going to say less bad words. And if I can just say less bad things and less abusive things, less hateful things, you know, then I'm going to get there. And Jesus is like, look, that's never going to work out, because the problem is not your words. The problem is whatever is in your heart is going to come out, and it's going to come out in your words. And if you don't fix the heart problem, you'll never fix the word problem. That the problem is deeper than you think. And Jesus is getting to something that is huge, and it applies to so much that is so much bigger than our words. You know, we think that God's goal for us, you know, in this area of words, that we think, well, God's goal would be that I just say less hateful things. I'm here to tell you that is not God's goal for you. You see, but the reason that it's bigger, we do this with spiritual things all the time. We think, you know, God's goal for me is that I would just, you know, stop lying. That God's goal for me is that I would drink less. That God's goal for me is that I would stop looking at porn. And you could insert any kind of behavior into that you want, and you think God's goal is that you just have better behavior. This was the rules of the Pharisees. The Pharisees came and they said, look, we got all these rules, we got all these laws, and if you just follow these laws, you're going to make God happy. And Jesus came and said, look, you're missing the point. The point is not that you just behave better. That misses the point altogether. This is not how it works. The way I put it on your outline, God's goal for the human race is not that we just avoid sin. And I get it, for some of you, that's the church you grew up in. It was the church of sin management. If you would just stop doing these things and start doing these things. That is not God's goal for you. You will never accomplish anything. You'll turn into a sour Christian, someone that I will not be around and be like, oh, you're one of those. And I will avoid you, and I will tell you to stay away from all my unsaved friends. Because the gospel of sin management and sin avoidance will kill you. See, God's goal is not just for you to avoid sin. God's goal is that you experience genuine heart change. That what Jesus says, look, it's not about you trying to stop looking at porn. It's not about you trying to stop drinking. It's not about you trying to stop saying all these mean, harmful, hurtful words. I want your heart to change, because if your heart will change, you won't look at that stuff anymore. If your heart will change, you won't go down that path anymore. If your heart will change, you won't say those things anymore. I want to get to the root of what the issue is. And when you're there, you will find what Jesus said, I came that you would have life life to the full. It's not about rules and keeping rule keeping and all of this. It's about heart change and heart transformation. The other way is putting the cart out in front of the horse and it's striving. And in Jesus' illustration, it's like being a bad tree trying to produce good fruit. And some of you, that's been your Christian life. You've been like, oh, I need to produce fruit. I got to try harder. It's not working. Whatever I was doing there, I don't know. The try harder, work harder is never going to work. If you change the root, if you change the heart, you'll produce good fruit. That is what Jesus is saying. Let me give you a couple of quick verses. I know we're running out of time here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says this. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Now, some of you, if you grew up in church like I did, this was the verse to keep you from cussing. But that's not the context of what he's talking about here. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. If you like to underline stuff or like to highlight things in your Bible app, there's a phrase in there you really should pay attention to and ask God about, and it's this one. Building others up according to their needs. See, there's a presumption that Paul is making in this text. There is something that he presumes that you already are doing. It's like, yeah, you're going to build others up. The presumption is you're going to build others up according to their needs. He is presuming that you already know what their needs are. I say many of us, one of the problems we have in relationships, we don't know what the other person needs. And for some of you, it's because you've just been talking, and you talk and 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 talk. And you never listen to what someone else would say. For some of you, you're so self-centered and everything is all about you, you never even pay attention to what other people are saying. So how could you build someone up according to their needs, not yours, according to their needs if you don't know what their needs are? So I've had it really truly is a privilege to walk through some friends that have gone through long periods of job loss, long periods of lack of income, and sitting and listening, both to them and listening to God, trying to figure out what their needs were. And their needs, yeah, they needed a job, yeah, they needed income, but I couldn't do anything about that. Their real need was, even in your lack of having a job, you still have worth, you still have value. You can still do whatever it is that God has called you to do. I still believe in you. I still think you can do it. Just building up their level of self-awareness and their just building them up as a man. I was doing all that I could to build them according to their needs. It's been an honor. It's been a privilege. Do you know the needs of the people that are around you? Because if you don't, you will never accomplish. You will never be able to do what Paul says here. One other verse, Proverbs 15:4 says this, a word of encouragement heals the one who receives it, but a deceitful word breaks the spirit. It's a very interesting phrase. It breaks the spirit. We've all felt that. And I think we've all done that, where our words have broken someone's spirit. It has just taken them and driven them down. And if you travel down the road of life, you're going to see tons of people that are broken all over the road. Their spirits are hurt. Their dreams have been shattered. They've been beat up. Our responsibility is to give a word of encouragement that heals, that your words can actually heal someone in their situation and where they're at. Let me give you a little bit of secret that I've learned in life. We tend to look at other people around, and there's certain people will say, well, they've got their act together, and everything seems to be working out for them. And we tend to think about those people, they don't need anything. Here's something that I have learned over and over. And in my other job, I got to sit with people, high-powered executives in some of the largest corporations in our country. Here's what I learned about them. Here's what I've learned about others. Here's what I know about you. No matter how well put together someone might appear, everybody needs healing. Everybody. Everybody has been hurt. Everybody is a little bit broken. And your words have the opportunity to provide healing, even if you think, well, they don't need it. Everybody needs healing. So the question becomes, who has God put in your life? Who in your life needs healing? Healing words and words of encouragement. You know, I would kind of give you that like your homework assignment. Who in my life has God given me that I can bring words that heal? You know, who are the top five relationships in my life that I can bring words that heal? Guys, when it comes to your wife or your girlfriend or your fiance, you know, when's the last time that you sat with her and you told her, you know, I just want you to know that you are an incredible gift to me? You say, well, I mean, she already knows that. I mean, I do all these things, and she knows that. It doesn't matter what she knows. When's the last time your words spoke healing into her life and said, you're an incredible gift? Ladies, when's the last time that you told your husband, your boyfriend, your fiance, you sat down and you said, you know what? I just want you to know that I believe in you. You say, well, he doesn't need to know that I believe in him. He's got everybody around him, patting him on the back, pushing him forward. He's doing okay in business. All his friends say, man, you're doing it. I'm not telling you what you think you know. When's the last time you sat down and you said, look, I believe in you? Parents, when's the last time you sat down with your daughter and you looked her in the eyeball and you got down and you said, you are beautiful? When's the last time you got with your son and you gather them together, no matter what age, no matter where they're at, and say, you know what? I believe you have what it takes. Those of you that lead teams and manage teams or own businesses, when's the last time you gathered the people that work for you and work under you, pulled them together and said, you know what, guys? Without you, I would not be able to do this. You say, well, I don't have to do that, man. I give them a paycheck. You know, I write up reviews. No, that's not what I'm talking about. When's the last time you pulled them together and you spoke words of healing? You just said, look, without you, we wouldn't be able to accomplish what we're going to accomplish. Your words can bring life, and your words can bring death. You have the power to choose. Jesus says, it's not about you just trying harder, though. I want to change what's inside of you. And if I change what's inside of you, you can begin to make the right choices. You can begin to choose to bring life. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, first I just thank you for the day. I thank you for what you tell us in the Bible, that it really does speak to how we live our life today and who we are. And I know some of us, we have been sabotaging our relationships with words. I know we've all said things that we wish that we wouldn't say. And I also know that our enemy would come into this space and whisper into our heads right now all kinds of guilt, all kinds of condemnation, trying to make us feel horrible about the things that we have done. But I also know that you didn't bring us together to make us feel guilty or to beat us up. That God, you bring us together to bring to light something that you want to change. And so, Jesus, no guilt, no shame, no condemnation. We open up our heart to say, change us from the inside out. God, change our heart. Do some transforming work in us. God, you are a God of power. You are a God of healing. I just want to be used as an instrument of you. And Holy Spirit, as you bring to mind the people that are in our life and the words that we say, let it flow out of us. Words that heal, words that bring life, not death. We surrender it to you. It's not about willpower. It is about surrendering to you and you changing our heart. God, help us. Help us as we get into our relationships to know that our words bring power, the power to live and the power to die. God, help us in those moments to say the wise things, to move in the wise direction. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.